Welcome to The Primal Pioneer, a no-nonsense podcast teaching you how to become more informed and empowered with regard to your health so you can support your health with the least amount of medical intervention possible. I'm your host, Heather Shepherd, classical homeopath, author of The Sunlight Rx, and ancestral foods chef. For the past 12 years, I've been helping people overcome acute and chronic health disorders and brain injuries using a 100% natural approach. Enjoy this episode and subscribe to this podcast to stay informed about your health, your food choices, and the healing power of sunlight. Hey everyone, welcome back. Today I want to talk about overcoming lactose intolerance, and I want to talk about dairy when it comes to supporting metabolic health. Dairy, I think, is great for many reasons, but I found it personally and in my private ancestral diet practice to have a very supportive effect on metabolic health, blood sugar levels, blood sugar regulation, weight management, and energy production, and so forth. Now, very interestingly, this subject, this is going to be a different subject than I want to talk about here for a minute, because this has come up the past couple weeks pretty strong from various people. And that is, even though, like, for example, I'm going to teach you today how dairy can support metabolic health, I'm going to talk about how you can reduce symptoms of lactose intolerance, right? But I want to make something very clear that even though I'm giving you these recommendations, everybody is very unique. Everybody has their own individual genetic predispositions and health history and healing story and so forth. And so even though I tell you these things and what I'm going to teach you today, what I teach you on the podcast and so forth, even though I make some of these suggestions, if you implement these suggestions and you're like, that fucking didn't work, you know, it's like, okay, that didn't work for you, okay? So one of the biggest pitfalls, because so many people, they join groups or they join like group classes, or, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with those. I have group classes. I think they're amazing. But we have to make this message very clear when we're working with groups of people or in group classes or doing a podcast like this and just giving, you know, general recommendations, suggestions, and so forth, and information and education. But we have to be extremely clear, especially as healthcare practitioners, that this information we're sharing is not going to work every single time for every single person. And I think a lot of people, if they were to admit that, they have maybe some blocks around admitting that, like, they can't solve everything. They're not a Jesus complex. They're not an amazing healer. It doesn't mean you're not an amazing healer if you give a recommendation around how dairy can support your metabolic health on a podcast and somebody goes and does it and like has diarrhea. And then it's like, what the fuck, Heather? Right? And it also doesn't mean that you're incurable or you're unable to heal if you implement somebody's general advice and it doesn't work for you. Like, that is such a trap. It's a trap for the practitioner because, you know, we have to be able to be very clear that everybody's unique. Everybody has a unique set of symptoms. And everybody has genetic predispositions and things that they've been exposed to and diseases and disorders and suppressive therapies that are going to change the way that they respond to a certain food or a health practice or a mitochondrial practice than someone else. And, you know, we really have to understand that if we implement things that people say and they don't work, That is gold. That is your power. That is your education. That is your firsthand experience. And you have to take that as the gold standard versus what somebody else says. If somebody tells you need to eat more DHA, so you start to be like, oh, fuck, I hate seafood. I hate it. I don't want to eat it. I don't like the seafood that's rich in DHA. I hate salmon roe. I don't want to eat wild caught salmon. But this person's telling me it's such a good idea, and that if I don't eat DHA, then my health is going to plummet. That's a fucking trap. And you know what else it is? It's pretentious. It's not meeting the person where they're at. And it's the practitioner putting themselves in a Jesus complex in this hierarchical place, and saying like, oh, well, somebody, a practitioner who does that to you, what that tells me is they don't know why you have a reaction to seafood. They don't know how to fix that problem. They don't know how to rectify that. They don't know how to support you around that. So it's just eat seafood and strong arm it. Even if you have to plug your nose and vomit, you fucking eat that salmon or fish roe, or you drink 8 ounces of water, or even though your body's craving cold water, forget it. What the Chinese medicine says in Ayurveda is that slows down your digestion if I drink cold water, so I'm not going to do it even though I'm craving it. That is going against your body's own intuition. Your body is telling you something. And we listen to something and we hear something and we implement it, or we do it just because somebody else says so, who's in some sort of position of power. And then it doesn't work for us, or we just start doing this practice, like drinking room temp water or hot water because somebody recommended it and cold water slows digestion. That's a fucking lie. I'm coming at you with fire today. This is the full moon eclipse in Aries Libra, okay? I'm not messing around on this episode today. You know why? Because I'm sick and tired of people going to other practitioners, getting general recommendations. Those recommendations don't work for them. And then they feel bad about themselves, or they feel like they have to find a way to do it because, such and such so with 100K followers who makes, 20K a month said to do it. And that is total horseshit. Okay. What I encourage people to do is, of course, on this podcast, I give general advice. When I teach people through my homeopathic trainings, through the ancestral diet certification course, I teach you how to get individual, how to individuate your therapies, your protocols for people to avoid this very situation. Because not only does the patient or client fail and feel like a failure, but then what happens is they stop coming to you. And so then you feel bad about yourself. Or maybe you're just like, oh, they're a hard case, and we don't, we have no, we can't help them, right? Because we're stuck in our own, like, we have to be right. There's only this one way. And when it comes to diet and when it comes to healing, and of course, there's many things that this applies to, but it's so effing dogmatic and rigid. And it's like, sure, it's great to have some structure. Yes, it's great to not just, graze and eat throughout the entire day. Yes, of course. And it's good to have some parameters and some education with regard to how to make healthy food choices and how to heal your body. But we have to start listening to our own bodies, no matter what I say or somebody else says, or somebody's training teaches you. The best education that you have is your own personal experience and how your body responds to certain therapies and foods and so forth. So just because I say, oh, Heather's the author of the Sunlight RX, she says to get a lot of sun. Can I tell you how many people come to me who have sun sensitivity and they're afraid to admit that? Why? Because they think I'm going to be like, oh, just get more sun. Like if I were to tell someone to just, oh, you just have to keep doing it, even though you get migraine headaches or visual auras and then you puke, or you get overheated and then you're floored for 3 days. It's like, this isn't meeting people where we're at. If you are becoming or are a health practitioner, or if you go to healthcare practitioners and they don't meet you where they're at, you're at, and they jam things down your throat and you tell them it doesn't work and they're like, oh, well, just keep going. You know, it's just a herx a reaction or a detox effect or red flag, red flag. The point I want to make here is please listen to your body. And I'm going to talk about dairy today. And if you hate dairy, then please don't go out and buy a cow or a jug of raw milk and, you know, try to drink that. Absolutely don't do that. You know, I want you to listen to your body. I want you to listen to your symptoms. And I want you to listen to what your body is needing and wanting and craving. And I don't care what anybody else on the planet is telling you or suggesting, your body knows best. And I can't tell you how often I've done this throughout especially the early part of my life. 20s is for just idiocracy, right? It's like people tell you what to do and you do it and you don't question it. Question it. Question everything. Listen to your body. Okay. Like, this was an intense way to start out the episode. I understand that. But this theme for the last 2 weeks has been very prevalent in my life with clients, with my students, with the clients my students see. And, you know, we have to stop the freaking dogma around healing, around eating, and we have to start listening to our body. Period. Okay. So let's talk about dairy and metabolic health, huh? That's my inspiration to you to, no matter what anybody tells you, what does your body want? Okay. We've been trained to not listen to our bodies for forever. Okay. We need to start listening, paying attention, and then owning that. Like, I don't give a crap what Dr. X tells you because he's like, or Dr. Mercola, when you come into a session with me, I want to know about you and your symptoms and how you're feeling and how you respond to certain foods. Okay. So today, I'm going to talk about why I eat dairy. This is my personal journey, why I eat dairy to support my metabolic health, how dairy supports metabolic health in general. And I'm going to give you some tips on how to overcome lactose intolerance, or at least lessen these symptoms if you're somebody who loves dairy, but it gives you diarrhea, or you get constipated, or you get super bloated, right? So I'm going to talk about that. And I know that dairy has been red flagged in a lot of diet and food communities, dogma all around dairy. If somebody's like, okay, sure. Skittles, right. We keep them out of the diet. Okay. Obvious freaking things that are raised by, you know, monocrops, corn syrup, sugar, processed to hell. Of course, we know that those are obvious things to keep out of the diet, right? There's no pathway in no scenario do those foods and, you know, lead to health ever, right? So, but there's a lot of foods that are we just have these beliefs that have developed around them that's like, oh, but everybody says they cause inflammation, but everybody says I shouldn't eat that if I have bad gut health, or but you know, everyone says those are inflammatory and it's probably, you know, not good. We do that with so many foods. Okay. Did nature provide it? Did nature produce it? And is it being offered to you like as close to nature as it was grown or raised, meaning the least processed? Then we can't just say, oh, nope. that's not a food I should be eating. Dairy is one of those foods. Dairy has been red flagged in a lot of diet and food communities. It's been blamed for inflammation. It's been blamed for increased mucus production. It's been blamed for being a damp producing food, thereby producing dampness in the body. Unfucking believable, you guys. Just listen to that, right? It's like that is so general. That's so general, and it's so damaging because people take that on and they're like, what if dairy was like a food that your body really needed to thrive, to prevent disease, to have healthy hormones, to have healthy metabolic function? But your acupuncturist told you that's a damp food, so avoid it because you're overly damp. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not damp because you're eating too much dairy. Okay. And that's a whole, it's dangerous what people are being told. Okay, dairy is blamed for diarrhea, for constipation, for stomach issues. Now here's the deal. But yes, dairy can contribute to some of these issues when consumed in its unnatural form, when it's pasteurized, when it's homogenized, when it's ultra pasteurized. Ultra pasteurized is like the devil. It's like the demon. All of them are, but ultra pasteurized is if we're talking worst of the worst. Okay, when dairy comes from animals fed grains and horrific silage and other monocrop foods and other foods unnatural to grazing animals, like, do we think that it's a really good idea to give soy cakes to dairy to our cows? Like, I was reading, I've done a lot of research on cows this year because we just got a cow this year, as many of you all know, and I can't tell you how many books say give them make sure you feed your dairy cattle soybean cakes and fermented soy cakes and canola cakes. And I'm like, you got me bent if you think I'm feeding that to my animals, right? It's like common sense. So for one, if you're eating dairy from that's processed in that way, your body's going to produce symptoms, period, because those are unnatural things. They're heavily processed and they're touched by humans many times over to create the end product. That's a red flag. It can also contribute to some of these issues when you consume dairy from grazing animals that carry, even if they're grass-fed, okay, that carry the A1 beta casein protein versus the A2 beta casein protein. I've done podcasts on this very subject. You can go back and listen to one I did that honed in on A2A2 dairy. It's called Health Benefits of Lard and A2A2 Dairy. I did that back in November 2023. If you want to get into A2A2 a little bit more, check out that episode. I'm going to talk about this also during this episode a little bit as well. I'm going to talk about A2 versus A1 beta casein. This is something very important to understand, because if you are consuming dairy products from cows that carry A1 beta casein protein, you're very likely to have symptoms. Your body's very apt to produce inflammation, even gut-brain dysbiosis. There's a variety of symptoms that A1 beta casein has been shown to be a main cause of, or at least a very triggering, stimulating too. And so, sure, dairy can contribute to some of the symptoms it's blamed for and issues it's blamed for when we consume dairy from in this way. So, now, let's say, I know a lot of people today are lactose intolerant. I have issues with this, so I know very well the symptoms of this, the discomfort it causes, and it sucks. It's just like, let's just put it out there. It's not fun to live with. Let me just start by, because I want to talk about lactose intolerance a little bit, and especially if you're somebody who loves dairy like me, but you can have issues with some forms of dairy, because even if you have the most cream of the crop dairy available to you, A2A2 genetics, grass-fed, totally pasture-raised, raw, and you get this cup of milk in front of you and you drink it and it's like the best. And then you are constipated for a week, or you have diarrhea, gas, and bloating like 15 minutes later, an hour, whatever it is, you know? It's like, there you go. That's your information that this food is like, even though it's the cream of the crop for some people, for you, that's not your medicine. But I'm going to talk about a little bit about how you can make it more of your medicine. But first, I want to talk about what is lactose intolerant. Like, what does it mean? And some people, what this means is some people do not produce the enzyme lactase, which is needed to break down the milk sugar lactose in dairy products. Okay. So some people, okay, as soon as you eat dairy, let's say you drink a glass of milk, this should trigger to your pancreas, to your small intestine. Okay. Release digestive enzymes, and lactase needs to be involved because here's lactose, and that's the signal. Your body should get that signal to boom, then produce the enzyme lactase. Now, those who aren't unable to produce lactase struggle with dairy intolerance. Okay, so symptoms like diarrhea, bloating, constipation, gas, abdominal cramping, to name a few. Okay, this can occur when you eat dairy. Now, the small intestine is supposed to make the enzyme lactase. However, this doesn't happen in some individuals, and this is when symptoms of lactose intolerance occur, even if you eat the best dairy on the face of the earth. I am lactose intolerant, so, you know, I understand these symptoms, and this is something I'm working to heal. I enjoy dairy, and not all dairy I react to. It's typically just milk. Cream, cheese, you know, usually no issues. Okay. But so if you're out there and you're lactose intolerant, you don't do well with dairy, right? You know, first of all, what I would recommend is change your source of dairy to really let's determine if you're really lactose intolerant or if the milk is shit. So get rid of all the shit milk, homogenized, pasteurized, ultra pasteurized, you know, from non-grass-fed animals. If you're buying milk in a grocery store, now forget it. Just keep it there. Okay. You need to find a farmer who sells raw milk. Period. Milk isn't worth drinking unless you can find that. Okay. So let's say you find somebody with Primo milk. Awesome. Okay, check. Now, is there milk A2, A2? That's another check. Yes, you want that check mark. So you need those two checks. You got those two checks. You go and you get yourself a quart of raw milk, just for an example, just for an experiment, and you drink that, and everything goes fine. You're not lactose intolerant. You are either reacting to the A1 beta casein, or you are reacting to the crap that the cow was being fed, and your body was having a producing symptoms as a result, as it should in such cases. Now, if you go through all of that and you still have symptoms after you eat dairy, then you're lactose intolerant. Okay. Now, there are many different causes of why somebody could be lactose intolerant. There's a laundry list, and I personally believe mine is due to being born very premature. Premature babies commonly experience lactose intolerance because their gut lining and other aspects of their gut health didn't have the time it needed in the womb to fully develop. And so, you know, while some people who are born premature, they can outgrow this. Not everyone does. I feel like I didn't outgrow it. I had really bad acne as a kid, and I drank heaps of milk. And I suspect that this was why, as soon as I took milk out of my diet, my acne went away. And so, There was a direct correlation there for me, and I suspect it goes back to being born premature. Now, everyone has their own reasons, okay? I am all about let's find out the cause as to why you struggle with what you're struggling with or why you're allergic to something. It's like somebody's just not allergic to peanuts because it's bad luck. Somebody's just not lactose intolerant by chance. There are reasons for everything. Even though your doctor will be like, yeah, I don't know, fucking lazy, Doctors are so lazy. My dad went to the doctor the other day and he went to the urologist and they were like, oh, just, focus on eating bread and pasta and potatoes, and avoid foods that are going to trigger too much uric acid so you can avoid kidney stones. And he's like, how do you think that sounds? And I'm like, it sounds fucking horrible. That's the worst advice ever. That'll put you straight into to type 2 diabetes, which we already know that my family line has a strong genetic predisposition to. So I would absolutely say do the opposite. And we have to get your body to in a place where you're not creating so much uric acid and your body knows what to do with it when it does create uric acid. Anyway, that was a total aside, but what I want to mention here is that most doctors give general advice and recommendations because they have no idea what they're doing. They literally don't. Like surgeons, great. They can do a surgery and it's really important and it's a really great skill, but the general advice that's given by practitioners and doctors, it's dangerous. If my dad took that advice and just for the next year, because the urologist is like, see you in a year, and he ate that, he would go into the urologist and he'd be like 200 pounds overweight, And it's absolutely, if you see an overweight person already in your practice and you tell them, oh, just focus on bread and pasta and stuff like that, man, just the issue, they're causing more issues. It's causing more issues. There's so much healing yet to be had in the healthcare practitioner field and world. Anyway, so lactose intolerance can also develop due to the overuse of antibiotics to jabs. There can be hereditary components, okay? If you can understand what your drive, what is it for you, then we can pinpoint how to course correct in a more accurate and effective way. So, without the ability to make the enzyme lactase in the small intestine, you're not going to be able to absorb, you're not going to be able to assimilate or break down certain constituents of milk. However, there's some ways to work with this, which I'll discuss more throughout the episode today. And let's see. What else do I want to mention before? I think that's the core of what I'm going to be, deep diving in from here on out. But before I go further into the episode today, I want to announce that this April, which is just around the corner, which is unbelievable because last night we got a foot of snow here. I mean, I'm not complaining because we need it and the trees need it and so forth. But this April, I'm going to start offering mini courses in classical homeopathy. These courses will be online, self-paced classes with monthly live Q&A sessions for all students. And there will be options to bundle the courses to become a certified classical homeopathic practitioner. And there will be options to take individual courses as well. So let's say you're not ready to get certified, but you're really curious about, say, a course I'll offer on homeopathy for anxiety and panic disorders, or a course for treating metabolic disorders with homeopathy, or treating gut health disorders, et cetera. Okay. There'll be several options for you, and those options are going to start being more available to you all this April. You can stay tuned for the release date of each course by tuning into this podcast. You can join my newsletter or follow me on Instagram, which is at sunlight_rx. Okay, let's continue with our conversation about dairy, milk, and how to add this into your diet to support metabolic health. And I'll talk about lactose intolerance as well. And actually, I want to start with that. I want to start with lactose intolerance because that's kind of where we left off. I know how frustrating it can be to struggle with this symptom because dairy can be such a nourishing food. Okay. I own two dairy cows and I'm currently writing a cookbook on, homemade dairy products and stuff like cultured butter and kefir and yogurt and so forth. And since we got our cow, and then our cow Rose had a calf, I've been up to my ears in milk, and I'm not even lying, every single day to keep up with the processing of milk. I make yogurt and I make farmer's cheese every single day. Okay. And of course, we sell these products to our local community, and it's been really awesome to offer this to other people. But I've had to learn how to put use. What do I do with all this milk? It's literally 3, 4 gallons a day. What am I going to do with all this, right? Especially because, I don't do great with milk, so I have to turn it into a product that I do better with. And so, but since having our cow, I'm like, okay, let me really work more on this lactose intolerance issue because I have this bounty of milk in front of me. It's gold standard. It's literally grass-fed A2A2. Can I work with this? I don't know, but let me try, right? Now just as if you're unsure of like, hey, what's this whole A2A2 thing? All cow milk used to be, I should say, all cows, and then therefore the milk they produce used to be full on A2A2 back in the day. The A1 beta casein protein was not present, and however, over time this protein got bred out of certain herds, and the majority of commercial milk now today and cow dairy products today do not contain A2A2 protein, but contain A1 protein. Okay. So that's why my first step was, before you just chalk it up to lactose intolerance, make sure, you get A2A2 dairy, start there, grass-fed and A2A2. This often solves a lot of problems for people who struggle with dairy. Now, the A2 protein is not only less inflammatory and easier to digest, absorb, assimilate, but it has numerous health benefits, as well as, for example, supporting metabolic health, a healthy weight, and so forth. Now, I want to mention that we often hear that, oh, eat sheep or goat dairy, it's going to be better. And the reason why often people have less of a reaction to sheep and goat, like I can eat sheep and goat dairy, no problem at all, right? These animals do not carry the A1 beta casein protein. They carry the A2 beta casein protein. And this is why many people do better with these forms of dairy. Okay, it's A1 versus A2. So that is typically the core reason why people do better with sheep and goat dairy. However, if that's your thing, if that's the only, hiccup, then you can enjoy cow dairy if it's from A2A2. That shouldn't be a problem. Okay, but you want to make sure this is fully. For one, you want to make sure it's fully A2 because some cows are A1, A2. Okay. You need the combination A2, A2. All right. They're going to try to trick you. Oh, it's A2. Well, sure. But is there A1 at all? If so, it's a no-go. This is something to avoid. Okay. Avoid A1 to avoid the health pitfalls and digestive distress that dairy can trigger in some people, and look for truly A2, A2 dairy products. And if you cannot find this, let's say, Heather, I tried. Where I live, I cannot find this, then look for sheep or goat dairy, as they don't carry the A1 beta casein protein, only A2. That's a way to solve this problem. Now, if you do all of that and you still have issues, you can try purchasing a non-GMO lactase enzyme supplement. So for those who are truly lactose intolerant, remember, for one or several of the reasons that I mentioned earlier, Your small intestine cannot produce the lactase enzyme. So, you can find a good quality non-GMO, key there. Don't just buy any lactase enzyme, non-GMO lactase enzyme supplement, and stir it into your milk. It's flavorless. Unless they put some horse shit in it, then you're going to want to just get a different one, right? You just want literally the enzyme lactase, stir it into your milk. And or take the enzyme before eating dairy, and this often solves the problem. Notice I said often. If you still do that and you have diarrhea everywhere, just make a different choice, okay? This is just a suggestion you can try that's been helpful for me if you have if you're truly lactose intolerant. Okay. Let's segue into dairy as a metabolic hero. Now, don't take that to mean it's your metabolic hero, but maybe it is. Maybe it could be. It's a metabolic hero for me when I find the right forms of dairy for my body, which does not include drinking a glass of raw milk, but it does include cultured dairy. It does include sheep dairy. That's my metabolic dairy hero. What's your metabolic dairy hero? Okay. Do you even have a metabolic dairy hero, right? I've found with myself and many of my clients, dairy, grass-fed, real deal. To be a metabolic champion. This food is left out of many people's diets for no good reason, really, unless you're lactose intolerant, unless you're responding to A1 beta casein, right? Unless you have a true dairy allergy. This is one of nature's superpower foods, and I have found it to be incredibly supportive to my metabolic health, to that of my clients. So let's dissolve some myths around dairy. I know I mentioned this in the beginning, but really, I mean, if you've held on to some of these beliefs for years, like, let's just let this go. Does it encourage the production of phlegm? Sure. If you're eating conventional or A1 dairy, absolutely. Absolutely, it will. If you're lactose intolerant, then yes, then we can tick these boxes. Okay. Your dairy is on point if the cows have been grazing on pasture, and after you eat it, you feel amazing. Your body's gonna tell you, I drank this glass of raw milk and I feel like a fucking superhero. That's good information. Who cares what Dr. X says or anybody else who says dairy is inflammatory? That's absolute utter crap to make that generalization. You eat dairy, you feel like a superhero, you keep eating dairy. Okay? And if you have symptoms after you eat it, then instead of just being like, fuck it, I can't eat dairy. That's it. It's not my food. See, it's inflammatory. See what they said? It's just, and I have phlegm now. I have too much, right? Okay. Before you just go off on that victim dairy train, let's just check in. Was the animal eating a crap diet? Was it A1 from an A1 dairy source? Or do you lack the enzyme lactase? Period. Those are usually the three things and questions we have to ask around our dairy consumption when we have a reaction to it, when our body produces symptoms. Ask yourself those questions. Okay? Okay. The same goes for this food being a damp food, being an inflammatory food, and so forth. If you eat it and you feel like a superhero, that's your food. That's gonna be spot on. Right? So when you eat clean, nutrient-dense dairy, preferably from farmers who sell raw milk, raw dairy products, and cultured dairy products like yogurt, like kefir, like sour cream, this is like a metabolic superpower for your body. Now, I personally place great emphasis on cultured dairy like yogurt, kefir, cheese, cultured butter, clabbered milk, farmer's cheese. Why? Because the culturing, one, makes them more digestible, absorbable. Your body can assimilate it, but it also makes the nutrients more readily available, more bioavailable, even though this food is so bioavailable in and of it by itself. But also, it takes the nutritional profile of the food up several notches when we culture it. Okay. And so this is why cultured dairy is my preference. Now, if you do amazing with raw milk, my wife drinks raw milk like a champ. Okay. She can drink a quart plus of raw milk a day and she craves it and she comes down and she's just chugging it. And I'm like, you go, babe. That's impressive. That's awesome. And she does amazing with it. If that's you, keep going. Keep doing it. Yes, that's a great sign that your body is really needing, wanting that food. That's a good food for your body. Now, this is the obvious. I've stated it throughout the episode the whole time so far, but raw milk and cultured dairy products from cows raised on pasture are nutritionally superior to those raised on feed and grains and God knows what else, but that's an absolute obvious one, right? Now, I want to take a minute to finish the episode today. I want to specifically hone in on how certain nutrients in this caliber of dairy, right? We're not talking about the crap. We're talking about the good stuff. Can support metabolic health. For one, many people who struggle with their weight, underweight, overweight, their diets are deficient in absorbable forms of magnesium, of calcium, of vitamin D, and other fatty acids, including vitamin A, vitamin K2. Okay? The diet is typically deficient in these nutrients when there are metabolic issues at play. Underweight, overweight, same issue. I mean, it's, not really, but it's a metabolic issue. It's a hormone issue as well. Many people who struggle with their weight actually aren't overeating. They simply aren't eating foods that are nutrient dense, nor are they eating foods that the gut can readily absorb. Of course, some people struggle with overeating, right? Okay, this is, again, right? But many people eat foods that are healthy and hearty in calories, but lack in nutrition. And not only that, they also lack in absorbable nutrients. So if your gut cannot absorb the nutrients in your food, you will develop symptoms, and these symptoms can be anything from minor to major. As a result of the nutrient deficiency, as a result of your gut lining not being able to absorb, assimilate, and use the nutrients in your food. And those symptoms will vary depending on your genetic predisposition, depending on your individual constitution. When it comes to overweight struggles, we have to look at leptin, sure. Yeah. We have to look at the type and quality of foods that one is eating. We have to look at the absorbability of the foods that one is eating. And for the love of God, we have to look at the genetic predisposition. Okay. We also, of course, have to look at the light environment, which is a completely different topic for another episode. So just store that in the back of your mind. But we have to look at so many different things. And this varies depending on each individual. Somebody who's had antibiotics crammed down their throat, their gut's going to be a hot mess even 30 years later. Antibiotics don't just affect you for like a couple of days after you've taken them or finished the round. They affect you for the rest of your life until you go back in and rectify that situation. That's why I love homeopathy, because of its ability to rectify train wrecks like that our modern medical system so wonderfully creates for us. So, many people think, and I know if you're listening to this podcast that you probably think outside of the box a little bit. But if you're new to thinking outside of the box, welcome. everybody. It's a big deal. It's very empowering. You get to know yourself a lot better, and then you can interact with people who support that, and so forth. But many people think that weight loss is just about diet and exercise, right? This is something of the 80s and 90s. It's like Richard Simmons created or something. It's far outdated and it doesn't work. It doesn't. And it doesn't work because in 85, 86, 87, the V schedule went way up. Way, way, I'm talking way up, skyrocketed. And children who have been under that, have experienced that, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of mess to clean up. The more suppressive therapies you've had, there's a bigger mess to clean up. And you can start cleaning that up. But it's going to take more than diet and exercise. That may have worked for people in the 70s and 80s because they weren't as heavily jabbed as kids are today. And since the mid 80s, I freaking snuck by that just in time to avoid that shit show. Thank God and heaven, right? But we have a big mess to clean up, and we have to own that we have a big mess to clean up, and then we have to be proactive about how to clean that mess up. And that's a multifactorial process. It's not one thing. It's not just move your life to Ecuador or El Salvador or Costa Rica or Florida or some tropical environment, and that'll solve all of your life's problems. And I'm mentioning that because I'm going to talk about that in next week's episode. Because many people ask me where they should move, and that is a deep conversation with many tentacles. And a lot of people in the mitochondrial world have been brainwashed to think that if they're not living in a tropical place, they're fucked. And that, again, is some hierarchical Jesus complex total BS. We got to talk about that. We got to talk about that in a deep way. Dogma. The dogma is real. But diet and exercise isn't going to cut it when it comes to healing today, when it comes to improving metabolic health today, okay? Because of all the suppressives we've been exposed to. Now, when it comes to raw and cultured dairy from cows grazing on real grass, the nutritional profile of that food is completely different when compared to dairy from cows raised on grain, GMO feed, raised in a CAFO environment. And what do we also know about people who struggle with weight and metabolic health? Well, they tend to also have blood sugar and heart issues or heart symptoms. Maybe they have high blood pressure. Maybe they have sleep apnea. Maybe they get out of breath easily going up a hill, right? Maybe they sweat profusely, very, very easily. These are some symptoms of heart issues. Maybe they have to eat, excuse me, within a certain time frame, or else they get a blood sugar headache or they get hangry. Okay, so people who struggle with weight and metabolic health, they tend to also have blood sugar and heart and or heart issues. And many also struggle with joint, muscle, and or bone pain due to the excess weight that's placed on their bones and anatomy. So real dairy products are an amazing part of the solution to this issue for the following reasons. And I'm going to get into some of the nutrients here even more. One, they lower inflammation levels, of course, with grass-fed dairy. Now, grass-fed dairy, because the cows aren't fed grains or where the grains are significantly limited in the cow's diet, right? What happens is we get a richer source of omega-3 fatty acids in this dairy, and we also get a very rich source of CLA, conjugated linoleic acid, CLA. is like a metabolic powerhouse, and it's only found in the fat of grass-fed meats and dairy products from cows raised on pasture. Okay, so if you're vegan, you're not going to get your CLA from spirulina. I'm so sorry about that, but you're not. It's not possible, no matter what, any of the vegans say. It's just not. It's not biologically, metabolically, it's not possible. So there's been a lot of consistent research done around CLA and with regard to reversing insulin resistance, as well as supporting a healthy weight and encouraging fat burning. This is why it's high on my list for metabolic food, because dairy products are a very rich source of fat and fatty acids, and you're going to get a good dose of CLA within that, and that is extremely supportive to metabolic health, fat burning, reversing insulin resistance. This is why when people say leave dairy out of your diet, it's inflammatory, it's mucus producing, it causes phlegm, it's damp, for the love of baby Jesus, if you have a food provided by nature, grown and raised in a way where it's not tampered with, no one's spraying shit on it, no one's pumping antibiotics or growth hormones into it or jabbing it, and you eat this natural food, and let's say your body produces undesirable symptoms, it's not the food. It's you. Or it's the A1 casein. Okay? It's something, and I don't mean like that to be an asshole. Oh, it's you, and there's nothing you can do. That's not what I'm saying. It's something in you that is compromised, that is causing the reaction. It's not the food, unless it's any of those things we talked about today, when it is the food, right? And in the case, so like if it's you, if it's something in you, then we have to work on getting to the root of that, rectifying that, so you can include this food into your life. Okay? So, if you're someone who has metabolic issues, weight struggles, blood sugar issues, you likely need more raw and cultured dairy from animals raised on pasture in your life, not less. Now, another reason, that I recommend raw and cultured dairy for people struggling with metabolic health issues is because it's chock full of healthy fats, and these fats, as well as the protein, are bioavailable, meaning your gut will readily absorb and utilize the nutrients in grass-fed and full-fat dairy. And if you struggle with metabolic health, you likely need heaps of this food. I'm not talking like, oh, I'll put a tablespoon of yogurt on my cereal, right? It's like, no, not just a piece of cheese at lunch. I'm talking like a pint or two of yogurt per day, a quart of raw milk, several slices of raw cheese. And I want to be clear that when I have a client come to me for help with their diet and they book an ancestral diet plan with me, I don't focus on dairy that's only high in fat, like sour cream, creme fraiche. Those are awesome. Have those in the diet. But we need to combine that with dairy that's also rich in protein. So I don't just focus on one or the other, like skim milk or BS like that. No, there needs to be a blending of these nutrients. And in fact, I have no idea if there's any studies out there on this, but I have a study going over a decade with my own clients, and that is my clients who struggle with their weight and blood sugar. If they just focus on dairy high in fat without protein or low in protein, they don't get the same metabolic supportive result. Period. I've noticed it year after year after year. Oh, you focus on, you're just eating sour cream, you're just drinking cream, you're eating whipped cream, you're not actually doing the protein or the milk or the cheese aspect of it. It doesn't go as well. And these two nutrients, fat and protein, they're found together in nature, and they go together. They synergistically work together. They absorb and they're utilized. They're more bioavailable when we combine these foods. I'm not telling you not to eat whipped cream or creme fraiche or so forth, but I'm saying when we just top heavy one, that's when, some of these imbalances can occur. Now, another thing that dairy from herds raised on pasture have, going for it in metabolic health is calcium. We need heaps and heaps of bioavailable calcium in our diet. The American diet is absolutely devoid of absorbable bioavailable forms of dairy. And we've created this shit show by taking the cream off of the milk, and so then we can't absorb it as well because you need the fat and the protein together to absorb them more effectively, right? The fact is, most people eat calcium, but not in bioavailable forms. Vegetables are not a bioavailable form of calcium. You can be like, oh, I need to strengthen my bone health. Let me just Google. Let's Google foods rich in calcium. Google's going to give you vegetables rich in calcium primarily, right? Forget it. Why? Because they aren't bioavailable. It's like having a check for 5K and the bank decides it doesn't take checks anymore. Foreshadowing, maybe. But the point is, what a thing says on paper doesn't always carry over in human physiology or in the human gut or in nature. Please know, broccoli is a horrible source of calcium. It might contain calcium, but your gut isn't going to absorb near the amount that's in that calcium. And so then where does it go? That's a good question. Then where does it go? Because if there's not enough fat and protein in your diet from animal sources, it's not going to be used. And then you're going to have calcifications. And then you're going to have poor bone health. And then you're going to have muscle spasms and twitches, whatever it may be for you. Okay. It's going to affect you in some way. But broccoli is going to come up high as one of the highest sources of calcium in a Google when you Google search it. Your most bioavailable source of calcium is going to come from dairy products, period, period, point blank, period. And if you've omitted these foods from your diet because of who said what and what test said this and this and that, calcium signs, deficiency signs are going to show up where your weakest links are, where your genetic predispositions are. So this means it will look different in everyone, something we're not told or taught. Healing and disease and sickness is not this cookie cutter freaking thing. It's so unique to each person. Everybody deals with health issues, and everybody has a unique set of health issues. Every single person on this planet, you can't escape it. You cannot escape it. But we can work with it. We can support it. We just have to do so in ways that are supportive and that aren't dogmatic or some like random ass Google search or like somebody with 100K followers said to do this. And you're like, oh, cool. Like, amazing. I'm going to do that. And then it doesn't work. And you're like, it's me. It's not you. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not you. So this means it's gonna look different in everyone. Like if you're eating, if you're not getting bioavailable sources of calcium in, one of the most important minerals that we need in our diet, the symptoms are gonna show up in places unique to you, unique to your genetic predispositions. It's gonna look different in everyone. One person might omit dairy and have osteoporosis. Another may omit dairy and experience high blood pressure. Another might avoid dairy and have issues losing weight. Another might keep dairy out of their diet and have muscle twitches or spasms or insomnia. Symptoms will show up in the body where the genetic predisposition is present. So calcium first is never, ever in no universe okay or a good idea to take in supplement form. Absolutely hard no. This has significant side effects, including calcifications in the body. I don't care what your bone density test said. Don't take calcium is my recommendation. I would never take it. But eat more dairy from pasture-raised animals. Yes, absolutely yes. Dairy is the perfect blend of bioavailable nutrients. You have vitamins A, you have vitamins D, both of which synergistically work together in the body to support bone health. Then, if it's raw, you have K2. It's going to support your mitochondrial health, your hormone health, your metabolic health. You have calcium and magnesium, both of which also play off of each other. And many people, what do many people take? In supplement form, calcium and or magnesium in supplement form. Let's get it in the diet in a way your body can absorb it, use it, put it to use, prevent disease, rectify disease. Why do you think people take magnesium to have a bowel movement? Because it acts as a laxative, meaning it goes right through you. You don't absorb much of the magnesium that you take in supplement form. But you absorb a shit ton of magnesium and calcium found in dairy because it's in this synergistic blend. It's not just this pile of powder that you put into your mouth and you take it, and it's just like your body can't do anything with that. It has nothing to work with. It has nothing to synergistically. I don't care if it's like, what are people going for now? The bioavailable forms or the of supplements today. It's like if you're taking a supplement, your body's going to absorb far less of that, if any, than if you were to eat it in a real food. I want to talk about riboflavin as we end here today. Riboflavin is a B vitamin that no one talks too much about. Why? It's kind of, whatever. It's riboflavin. It's not too exciting. But we have to know that when raw milk is exposed to light or heat or processing, riboflavin is destroyed. How many people are deficient in B vitamins and take a B vitamin supplement to reduce stress? That go right through them, and they don't do anything from their for stress except for a placebo. So if that's going to help you, whatever. But this is one B vitamin that is very deficient in the diet because we no longer eat raw and cultured dairy anymore, and we process the shit out of it, or the stuff we eat has been carted around the planet before it gets to us, exposing it to heat and light and depleting it of nutrients like riboflavin. Riboflavin is huge in terms of metabolic signaling as well as detoxification. How many people struggle today with heavy metal detox or even mold detox? Eating more real dairy will help to rectify this, as will sunlight and UVA light. This will help to activate riboflavin in the gut, absolutely. So there's a lot more I can say about dairy, but I hope this provides you with a pretty damn good case to start eating dairy or experimenting with it in the ways I suggested today, raw when possible, from cows grazing on pasture to your diet, especially if you struggle with metabolic health. See you next week. Thanks so much for tuning into today's episode. To learn more about my approach to health, to see all of my creations in the kitchen and all of my Sunlight RX tips, you can follow me on the gram at sunlight_RX and subscribe to this podcast to access weekly episodes.